I would imagine one of the things it would make Church of Ireland members aware of is how much we believe, we have a common belief in the Eucharist, and also for them to reflect on why we have not moved towards intercommunion and what might be the issues there. One of the impressions I think it would make on people is how these discussions take place in an atmosphere of charity now, and charity and love and kindness and graciousness. I think that is one, considering now I would be old enough to remember when we stood outside the Church of Ireland when you know, a neighbour would die or a neighbour get married, mm-hmm. and standing outside the Church of Ireland waiting to see the people, the mourners, or the people getting married going in and out, which, you know, if you think about it, it's just 50 years ago, which was absolutely dreadful.
And in church terms is, thankfully, light years ago.
Light years ago. And the charity now in which issues, I mean, I think as St. Paul said, we now speak the truth in love and we build up the body of Christ.
And that's to be welcomed and encouraged.
Oh, very much so. Oh, very much so.
Some of our listeners will have seen pictures of and heard on either radio and television of the interesting ministry at the RDS during the week of the Eucharistic Congress regarding the Church of Ireland Archbishop Michael Jackson, that ministry of word and water. It is rare, surely, that a non-Roman Catholic bishop or archbishop would be invited to do something like this. What might the impression of this be to Roman Catholics attending, do you think? And also, how might it affect members of the Church of Ireland?
Oh, very, I think most Roman Catholics would view it very favourably. And, I, you know, from experience of people at the Church of Ireland, I think they equally would view it very favourably.
Even though Eucharist at the moment is unfortunately and sadly...
Yes.
An issue of great division between us.
I think the, as I say, the division as it becomes clarified is probably a challenge to say, well, let us go further to see how much further we can go. On the because just last night, as I was preparing for this interview, I actually typed off the agreed statement.
Yes.
And I'm surprised that this statement is actually 40 years old.
I was just going to ask you about the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission's agreed statement.
Yes.
Because there's a sense in which it must be gathering dust somewhere.
Oh.
And I, as a student in the late 70s and early 80s, assumed we were more or less there.
I would have thought so from reading this statement. Now, it's a number of years since I've actually read this statement,
yeah.
But reading it again last night, you say, where did this ever go? And why was there not more of a momentum about it? Because it's incredibly close. And,
it
you
is.
Know, the just to go through the various parts of it. And I think to realise the very, very united belief on the Eucharist that is in this statement.
And Father Michael, do you think there's any hope of this agreed statement being revived, or is there any point in ecclesiological terms of it forming the basis of discussion even here in Ireland again to see can some of those agreed positions be developed?
As I say, I'm surprised to take a statement that is now 40 years old, which appears to have been forgotten about, and I would certainly think a statement like this needs momentum. It should be revived, it should be looked at again. I would say many members of both the Church of Ireland and the Roman Catholic faith are probably unaware that such a document even exists and what's in it. And I would certainly, as I say, I'm surprised it appears to have been forgotten, and would hope that it would be revived, and to see, well, on the basis of this statement, where can we go? And there must be, I'm just reading it, there's a slight impatience as to, if this is 40 years old, I mean, are we to wait another 40 years before we do anything about it?
Well, I think not, in view of what we've seen in Dublin in the week in regard to the Eucharistic Congress.
Yes.
There's been an opening
yes.
up of church buildings, and there's been an opening up of human hearts in a way that can surely be attributed to the power of the Holy Spirit, and this of course is to be welcomed.
And for example, St. Anne's in Dawson Street was one of the churches involved in the Eucharistic Congress.
That's right. Father Michael, what in your opinion, and this now particularly for members of the Church of Ireland who are listening today, what in your opinion is the main dividing line separating common Holy Communion between both our episcopal communions?
It seems to be a lack of agreement about ministry and apostolic succession.
That appears
to be the main difficulty. There seems to have been a number of Roman Catholic commissions, and back in, I think, the 1890s, Pope Leo XIII formed a commission to look at the Anglican Roman Catholic orders, apostolic succession. That came to conclusions which I don't think were entirely agreed with at the time, that, for example, I think there was some idea about the function of bishops, and if a bishop ordained somebody, despite his own personal dispositions or point of view, that the while the it may not have been in terms of canonical law, shall we say, illicit. I mean, it perhaps could be argued that these ordinations were not invalid. I think it was revived under John Paul II, but again, it does not appear to have made much headway. But it does seem to revolve about the recognition of ministry.
Yes. And of course, there may be ways retrospectively of dealing with
that.
And I mean, I think ultimately that if we leave ourselves open to the power of the Holy Spirit, who knows how the Church will be prompted to deal with these issues. What do you think are the main challenges facing the Irish Roman Catholic Church? If I may dare to ask this question as a member of the Church of Ireland, what are the main challenges, do you think, facing the Irish Roman Catholic Church today in light of what we hope will have turned out to have been a very successful Eucharistic Congress in Dublin last week?
Well, one of the things, I suppose, growing up in the era I did, I mean, I'm over 60 now, of faith disappearing from public life, of no references to God in public life, of, as I say, maybe in the past it was predominantly of one faith, but I do think the disappearance of faith from public life, if you certainly watch much television, listen to radio, issues about God don't seem to be all that important. I mean, that I think the importance of faith having its place in the public square, it's not simply a matter of private opinion, which people are free to have or not to have, and to see it in that perspective, but that faith have its place in public life.